Have you ever been traveling somewhere and you'll see, I think the sign is yellow and it says road work ahead, and then it gives you some sort of alternative speed limit? Well, a lot of times when you see those signs, especially if you see a number of them and you're trying to stay on a schedule, it can kind of result in a little bit of an inconvenience. And life is like that a lot of times. There are inconveniences. There are things that go on that we didn't know. We were traveling down life's highway, so to speak, and things came up. And kind of those signs popped up unsuspectingly, road work ahead. And although I've never seen it myself, I'm told that on the tombstone marking a modest memorial to a remarkable woman who was given the public prominence of her preacher husband, she was inevitably known as Billy Graham's wife, read the words. And on her tombstone were the words, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Many of you have heard of Ruth Graham Bell, and she chose them herself years before she passed away and fell asleep. They came from a road construction sign she once saw greeting travelers with the good news that the long wait and faithful patience was now being rewarded. She repeatedly or reputedly commented, "What a marvelous image for the Christian life, a work under construction until we go to be with God. That's what I want as my epitaph." And so it is. And this writer goes on to say, "What strikes me about this epitaph is not just the modest, self-effacing candor that was so typical of Ruth Graham's life, but its appropriateness as a metaphor for the Christian life, a work under construction. Nowhere in my experience is there more dissonance between, quote, Baptist, unquote, and biblical, quote, unquote, than here. There is a popular Baptist theology, a doctrine of salvation, that sees salvation as purely an event without any sense of a process, a journey, or a work under construction at all. Our language sometimes betrays it. You've heard it. So-and-so got saved last night. Finished, complete, end of story. And for many, it is. The day they gave their hearts to Jesus Christ is about as Christian as they'll ever be. Armed with the knowledge that they're now saved, their ticket is punched. They return to life and to business as usual. No Christian growth, no discipleship, no work under construction. And then we wonder why there are so many undiscipled disciples, as one person called them in the church. To be sure, salvation begins with an event, a decision, a moment, but it does not end there. Not if it really is a work in progress. To save us, you know what? God must change us. He helps us. He transforms us. And that takes a period of time. That takes a lifetime. As this wise woman knew, it's a transformation, it's a formation, and it is both an event and a journey. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "God is easy to please, but hard to satisfy." And what he meant by that was that God loves us just as we are, but because he loves us, he cannot leave us as we are. He must form us into the image of his Son, who is both our source and our destiny. That is why he is so infinitely patient with us. He has a lifetime, ours, to finish the construction. And please take a note of this. Construction zones are not smooth highways and easy rides. A lot of times there's bumps and lane shifts and starts and stops that can be expected. Anybody who tells you otherwise has never been in the zone. Think about it. Patience and persistence are required. And one more thing. In this construction zone, we just don't work on Sunday. Our mission in life, our obligation has become a lifetime journey of growing and going with God. And I thought it'd be cool to review a few scriptures here a little bit together. But I just was so moved by that statement. End of construction, thank you for your patience. We're a work in progress. We're growing, we're changing, we're transforming, we're, let's say, being molded into that image that God would have us to be. So it's not like once and done, although doctrinally, you know what, we are saved. We do receive eternal life, and that can never go away. That can never change. But the development and the walk with God and the sensitivity to the Spirit and the opportunities to serve. Now, that's a whole other side of salvation, shall we call it? Like it talks about in Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation with wholeness and fear. Let's look at that verse real quick. Reading that today, thinking about that, I just thought, that is really interesting. Oh, gosh, let's see, where is it? Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but not now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that means with a sense of awe and respect. But work out your own salvation. What does wholeness look like to you? What preeminence or prominence does the Spirit have in your life? I mean, we're a threefold being, right? Body, soul, and spirit. We just don't forget about the body, and we don't forget about the soul, and we're all just now spirit. It's a blend of those things. But the extra, you know, the encouragement of the word is to work it out, see? And the next verse is just so awesome. It says, it's God that's working within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the best thing we can do is look to him and allow him to work with our hearts to help us along that way. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys before, but There's been a section of the word that has always just struck me so interestingly, and it has to do with Solomon asking those questions where God came to him in a dream, and we're going to look at that record real quick. Let's see where it is. Psalms? No, it's not in Psalms, is it? I think it's in Chronicles, probably. We're going to find out here real quick. 1 Kings chapter 3. Yeah, let's look at that. 1 Kings chapter 3. When I first saw this, I was just so blessed, so moved, because we all are a work in progress. But how is that process happening exactly? Are we the ones who are doing all the work and wanting God to bless us, or is God doing all the work and we're just like robots, or is it kind of a partnership that we're working on together? Well, I want to look at a couple of verses here for that, and once I saw this, it really changed my perspective. Well, let's see. We're in 1 Kings chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 3. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. He's kind of talking in the third person about himself. Verse 7, it says, and now, O Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. You know, what a statement, verse 7. He says, I feel, was Solomon a little boy when this was happening? No, he was a grown man. And yet he said, I'm like a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. You know, for the best of my understanding, what that means is he wasn't really confident in being able to really help people. He's like, I don't know how to work with people. I don't know how to help people. I don't know. I don't have the right answers for people. And there's so many people. He said in verse 8, your servants in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen are great people. They can't be numbered nor counted for multitudes. Like, how am I supposed to do this? And verse 9, give thy therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise unto thee, and it goes on. But what was startling to me, and if any of you are reading King James Version of the Bible right now, and you have a center margin, I would ask you to look at a footnote that's about verse 9, where Solomon's kind of doing what God said. God said, ask what I shall give thee. And he said, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. And in the center reference of the King James Bible, that word understanding is translated as the word hearing. You know, when I first saw that, I was like, what? And I really believe that what Solomon was asking God for was the ability to really hear. And I thought, you know, how cool that is, that is the thing that he would ask for, that he can discern or judge between good and bad, who is able to judge this I so great a people. And you know what? It really blessed God. It said it pleased the Lord that Solomon asked him this thing. And this is exactly what God did give to him. And I believe what he did get at that point while he walked faithfully was really the ability to hear God and to have a greater understanding of what God would have him to do. However God communicated with him, I don't really know, obviously. But I know that God heard his prayer. He asked for our hearing heart to judge the people. And it said, verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord. Solomon had asked this thing. And he said, hey, you didn't ask for all these other things, but you asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. And I just thought, you know, in light of what Ruth Graham talked about, had on her epitaph, about we're all a work in progress. We're all under construction. And so that's maybe our mutual prayer. I want to have a hearing heart, too, about you, that God has continued to work with us. He will continue to work with us. He doesn't expect us to have it all figured out. Matter of fact, there's a lot of wisdom in three simple words. I don't know. You know, as I was reading this and thinking about this morning, I wrote this statement. Not knowing what to do and saying it is a much better thing than saying you do when you really don't. And many times we have found ourselves in positions to offer advice and to say things or to offer opinions and everything else like that without having a lot of wisdom behind it. So, you know, in Proverbs it says a man who holds his lips appears wise. So, hey, you know what? Not knowing what to say and saying it, it's a much better thing than to say you know about something when you really don't know exactly what it is you're talking about. And we've all been there, done that. But Solomon's heart was so cool. Just to have a hearing heart. And that's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for you, is that we would all just be more inclined to be sensitive, to be able to really hear what God is saying. There's so many voices speaking. There's so many things that are happening in our world. There's so many things vying for our attention. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that we too would have those hearing hearts so that we can really tell what those things are that God would have us to do individually. Amen. So Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to know you, to be in this place, Father, to be alive during this time, and to see the beauty and have the beauty of your presence. And may we embrace it and enjoy it, Father. And may we too, like Solomon, have a great hearing heart. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.